Hello? Hello? Okay, I couldn't get on from my regular computer. Hello, people. Welcome back to What's Ailing America. It's amazing. I'm having a lot of problems at my end here for some strange reason in regards to trying to get onto the remote access for the station. And thankfully, the owner is there, and he has brought me on. So welcome back to What's Ailing America. And today our answer to What's Ailing America is going to be a continuation of the zombie apocalypse situation, which has totally gotten out of control and is actually now becoming very much infiltrated with disinformation. And since I had just run to the other room to get on my laptop, not knowing that I was going to be called by the station manager, give me 1 second while I go to the other room and get all the papers I have for the show. I'll be right back. You could all see me running around like a chicken without a head, I'm sure you'd get a good laugh. But I continue on because that's what I must do. As you know, What's Ailing America is the ultimate in reality radio. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. The ability to overstand and see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in. Regarding healthcare, as you know, this became self-evident to me in 1999 when I created the big picture of all diseases, which is the first diagram that can be found on both of my websites, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com and drcarly.com. If you are a new listener and you have not yet listened to the lecture of me explaining those diagrams, which you should print out before you listen to the lecture, I strongly suggest that you do so. Facing the reality that the psychopaths which control our world have created a hell on earth intentionally is a critical step in bringing forth an anti-hell. Overstanding the simplicity of the master template of how this hell has been created makes the antidote equally simple. We don't need all the details. All that is necessary is for people of conscience to say no to their predators, to stop loving them, forgiving them, making excuses for them, and to stop paying cash for being harmed. It is my goal to give you the truth of what I've learned, to arm you with the confidence to ask the hard questions, which will not only cause the predators to run away, but will also cause those around you to face the monsters destroying your lives. You will learn from my guests that there are many of us standing up. Silence is consent. Speaking the truth and asking hard questions in great numbers is the road to anti-hell. Bypassing religious beliefs that only some man in the sky can save us is very important, as religion is preventing many people from using logic and reasoning and forming a plan to save ourselves and then take action. For only acting on the truth will set you free. Negotiation with or compromise with evil is impossible. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them and helping them escape from the death and disease being caused by the medical devils. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. Thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice, I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number has been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for my international clients and radio shows. Note that I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Recent show archives are posted on OrionTalkRadio.com, and archives of shows for the past few years can be found at the LightOfDayRadioShow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. In fact, the webmaster for that site, Sheldon Day, has been kind enough to already post on today's date under Dr. Carly Archives links to many of the documents I'm going to be talking about. So you may want to get on the LightOfDayRadioShow.com, click on Dr. Carly Archives, go to today's date, and you can follow along with me for the first few documents I'm going to be discussing. There are many ways to listen to shows on the Orion Network, so check that out on the homepage. You can also support the network by donating on the homepage or buy a t-shirt to help spread the word about the station. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 716-213-6816 or toll free, thanks again to Ron, at 888-320-6151. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever's speaking. I'm going to be doing the show myself today, so if any of you want to call in, feel free to do so. However, I'm going to have to try to get on. I'm not on the remote thing, so I'm going to have to try to get on the remote thing during the break. Only my Skype is up, so if I can't get on the remote thing, I won't be able to see that you're calling in. What fun is this? I'm very excited that I also now have a show out of the UK on thesechangingtimesradio.ning.com every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The link to that site and call-in numbers for that show are also posted on my page on the lightofdayradioshow.com. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms, including the tweaked rabies virus being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone, is purchase a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I recommend and use personally for myself and all my pets. As I said on today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing America, is the zombie apocalypse continued. Because we're hearing more and more info and disinfo as time goes on. And so there's a number of things that I want to address. And I want to thank all of the listeners, and especially Sheldon Day, who's been sending me all kinds of links to documents as well as other shows that are being done on the zombie apocalypse. Many shows have good information. Many shows just don't quite get it. So I'm going to be discussing a lot of things today. First, I want to mention, very interesting, that on June 5th, Stephen Colbert made jokes about the cannibals. And it's really amazing, although they make me sick, these minions, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, because they're obviously being used to make everything terrible that's happening in our world into a big joke. I do try to watch them when they're on Monday through Thursday just to see what kind of crap they're feeding the sheep. And I was quite surprised that even the cannibalism of human beings can be made into a joke. And that's what Stephen Colbert did on June 5th, and I'm sure you can go on his website and watch that little skit for yourself. And then you can go basically throw up after you do so. Okay, the first document I want to talk about, which, as I mentioned, Sheldon Day has been kind enough to post the link for on his website under my archive section, is an amazing document that I was sent, which is out of Canada from 2009, making it obvious that the terrorist attack on the people of the world has been planned for some time. And the title of this article is When Zombies Attack, Mathematical Modeling of an Outbreak of Zombie Infection. Now, very interesting, in this article, okay, I hear the music. We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. the truth on TV. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is the zombie apocalypse continued. During the break, I tried to get onto the remote access on my PC, which is the only place that Skype would call me when the station called me. And it's telling me that Firefox is operating in a safe mode and it won't let me go on. But when I go to my laptop, it won't let me get on Skype to be on the call that I'm already on. So I don't think listeners are going to be able to call in. Unfortunately, you can try to call the number. If I don't add you to the conference, you'll know it's because I can't see you, because my Firefox is running on the safe mode for some mysterious reason. Okay, let me continue with the document from Canada, published in 2009 by Nova Science Publishers, When Zombies Attack, Mathematical Modeling of an Outbreak of Zombie Infection. Now, one of the most important things on the first page at the bottom of this article is where they give the definition of a zombie. And their definition is, a zombie is a reanimated human corpse that feeds on living human flesh. Now, since our language has been so screwed up and most words have multiple reasons, multiple definitions, I did in fact look up zombie. And there is another definition for zombie. It's also defined as one who looks or behaves like an automaton. And of course, an automaton is defined as a robot. So it doesn't have to be a dead corpse that's been reanimated. But I will explain shortly why all of this confusion and all of this being called a zombie situation is very important. But also very important is something they mention on page 142 of the article, because it's obviously chapter 4 of a very big document. But if you download it, you'll see this. It says that zombies infecting humans faster than humans can kill them is what we expect. Then the eradication depends critically on quarantining those in the primary stages of infection. This may be particularly difficult to do if identifying such individuals is not obvious. And they expect only two outcomes: either zombies are eradicated or they take over completely. So that's a very uplifting article, but isn't it amazing that a scientific journal, Nova Science Publishers, has actually published a mathematical model of an outbreak of zombie infection in 2009. Okay. Let's see. I'm going by some notes that I made here. Okay. The next link that's on my site says LQP-79.org. And this is a very important article that I was sent by someone. I'm getting so much information coming in regarding something called the LQP-79 virus infection. And it's written by a doctor by the name of Alfred Rastapopoulos from Greece. He's a doctor of mental medicine and a specialist in disease of the mind from the University of Meropis in Meropis, Greece. And this was posted on June 2nd of this year. And basically what he talks about in this article is a protein called LQP-79, which he states is the 79th attempt at binding lysergic quinine protein to create a mind control substance to be ready for human trials. Then he calls it a virus. And of course, a protein by itself is not a virus. So immediately I smell the rat. But he does say that it was in clinical trial stages and awaiting final approval for live subject testing until the federal government regulations allegedly canceled the use of all simian test subjects. Now, you know, it's very amazing that here this doctor that works in Greece is admitting that the mad scientists there have gone through 79 trials to develop something that will control the mind. And the key in the name of this protein is lysergic, because, of course, lysergic implies LSD, and all of us know about LSD. And basically, he later states that the trials were to be moved to South Africa in a more suitable climate for testing. More suitable climate, what does that mean? Well, that's where they're testing out most of the insane creations that the mad scientists are creating, because, you know, they can get these people to basically go through all kinds of insane tests, being experimental guinea pigs, without any oversight and without anybody really finding out what's going on. And then he says that the substance was supposed to be contained to training facilities, but mistakes have been made. Now, where have we heard that before? You know, that's a very common excuse they come out with when something goes terribly wrong, when they're doing all kinds of things to our world they have no business doing. They'll state that mistakes were made. Well, isn't that reassuring? And let's see, he also mentions that there were reported cases of infections of two or more persons in the United States. Now, how did those people in the United States get infected? What's going on here? Very interesting problem that we have with this new protein, which he then calls a virus. And as I said, a virus is not just a protein. It's got all kinds of other things involved with it, which I don't have time to go into. And of course, it has to have a way to reproduce itself and to get into the target subject. So basically, the very important thing I want to mention about this article, which, as I said, you can check out on the website, is the most obvious proof that this is disinfo, is created in a statement that he makes, and I quote, "America is not prepared for a zombie virus with no vaccine available, and they expect it could take as long as 6 to 8 months to find a suitable human vaccine for this creation that they're making in a laboratory." Now, as soon as they tell you that there's no vaccine available, you see, this is how it always works. All of the zombie types of movies that you'll, you know, can check out. I Am Legend is one example, Contagion. There's been so many that have been released in the last few years for some strange reason. The main disinfo in those movies is that they have to find a vaccine. And of course, this is exactly what these monsters did when we had the birds hyphen swine flu situation a few years ago, where they were telling people we're going to have a pandemic, and they tried to scare everybody into being inoculated with a vaccine that they created so quickly. I think it was actually 8 months it took them to get this vaccine online. Now, if the people had been foolish enough to get vaccinated with this vaccine in the huge numbers they were hoping, that is, in fact, what would have caused the pandemic. And I did so many radio shows during that time, over 1,000, and there were others speaking out against it as well, many others actually. And it's because of our efforts, I am convinced, that enough people woke up and said, no, I don't think so. Even if a vaccine works, you haven't had time to test this vaccine, and I'm not going to be your lab rat. And that's why the pandemic never happened, because people did not line up to take the vaccine. But you see, these psychopaths, they only have a few big picture master template type plans.
Your 3-minute radiation fallout forecast for Friday, June 8th, 2012, in Canada. Radar imagery from Environment Canada shows extensive scattered rainfall across most of the southern provinces. This includes the cities of Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Sudbury, Ottawa, Montreal, and Quebec. The tropopause is currently over British Columbia and Alberta and will be moving through Saskatchewan and Manitoba on Saturday and Sunday. These would be the areas of highest fallout concern. In the U.S., radar imagery from IntelliCache shows four regional areas of current precipitation as follows: the Pacific Northwest, Upper Midwest, moving into Ontario, in the area of the Sioux Locks and Tobermory and Georgian Bay, northern New England, and the entire Gulf Coast from Texas to Florida. The tropopause is currently moving along with the precipitation in the Pacific Northwest. Recent uncertainty regarding core exit and synthetic viruses dumped into the Gulf during the BP oil spill makes the rain along the Gulf suspicious as well. It never hurts to be cautious where radiation or airborne viruses are suspected. Recent high radiation readings, which were deemed erroneous, occurred in Indiana. This has many people greatly concerned. Along with these readings, there have been reports of unusual ground shaking, military and hazmat activity, and loud fireworks, booms, or explosions. We'll be traveling to this area Friday evening to see for ourselves what the heck is going on in Indiana and along the Indiana-Michigan border. Stay tuned to FukushimaFacts.com for uploads and reports while we try to get to the bottom of this. In Europe, radar imagery from Meteo France shows persistent rainfall continues across most of northern Europe. The heaviest rain is expected in northern Italy, Poland, Belarus, and the Ukraine. Recently, we've received mutation pictures from gardens in Germany, Croatia, and other places in Europe. Please send images of any extreme growth or unusual changes for our research collection. This message has been brought to you by Radchik and the Orion Talk Radio Network. We care about you because your government doesn't. Stay safe.
Okay, we're back with What's Ailing America. Let me continue with the article from this very obvious minion from Greece in regarding LQP-79. In his article, he's got many posts. One of the posts, he actually claims, "We are being attacked by multimedia and we are in fear for our lives. But we must make certain that the information is passed out before we are passed out. This information is volatile, inflammatory, and can cause severe pain. The media has been ordered to immediately shut down any conversations about this classified information, and a government lockdown is in place for all information exchange institutions." So, too bad the government doesn't lock down any mad scientists who are starting to play around with things such as this. And yes, there is a chance that they have tweaked rabies with some kind of protein that acts like LSD to just make the people more crazed. Nothing would surprise me. And I'm going to be talking about some other possibilities that are talked about in other media. But amazingly, in a post from June 2nd, this doctor actually states that the Miami cannibal is now confirmed by local police to have been a carrier of the deadly LQP-70 mental virus. Now, what kind of a joke is this? First of all, this thing was just created. And how could the Miami police have any kind of testing kit to test for it unless they were told that this was going to be used? And even if they did find that this, you know, protein was in whatever other concoction the man had become infected with, how come this was reported by this doctor and we haven't heard it from anybody else? Because, as you know, what you hear the most often is that it's all these bath salts. These bath salts that have been around for years, and now all of a sudden people that use these bath salts, and however they use them, I don't know if they smoke them or ingest them or what they're doing with them. And of course, let's just ask a question, where did the bath salts come from in the first place? It's alleged they came from China. Well, why are they being allowed here? And how are the people using them even finding out about them? Because the mainstream media will have shows all the time telling parents to watch out for their children inhaling different substances and all kinds of things. And I'm convinced that that's how people find out about this stuff, is by watching the mainstream media, which is telling them, oh, you can do this and you can do that. And, of course, the question is, why isn't anything being done about it? Although I have heard that our traitors in the District of Criminals will be holding hearings on bath salts soon. Isn't that great? We'll see where that goes. But also, in addition to a advertisement for the influenza vaccine on the site that you can find in that post that Sheldon Day made, there's also a little piece mentioning necrotizing fasciitis, the flesh-eating bacteria. And he states that it's caused by a virus. Now, it's not caused by a virus. It's caused by a bacteria. So I don't know where this is coming from. There's all kinds of confusion here. But flesh-eating strep is a bacteria. But interesting that we now also have an outbreak of flesh-eating bacteria. And as I mentioned on the show last week, if not before that, because I'm doing so many shows now almost every day, of course, there have been 4 cases of this monster pathogen being found in people around the CDC in Atlanta. So we have flesh-eating bacteria, we have flesh-eating cannibals. There's a lot of flesh-eating going on. And that's very interesting and very suspicious in itself. Okay, so as I said, this minion is basically trying to get it in people's minds that we have to get a vaccine for this zombie situation. You know, start programming the people now so that as more and more of these cases pop up, which I can guarantee you they will, and I'm getting sent all kinds of them. I'm not even going to have time to go through all of them. People are going to get filled with fear, as always happens, the ones who don't bother to do any research. And I'm sure they'll be lining up for a zombie vaccine just like they've lined up for other vaccines in the past. That's how these monsters operate. Okay, the next document I want to mention, which is also in that post that Sheldon Day has put up, was an amazing article I was sent entitled Zombie Virus Possible Via Rabies Flu Hybrid? Highly improbable genetic tweak could create a mutant virus. Guess where this is posted, people? National Geographic in 2010, October of 2010. Now, what's up with National Geographic having an article about a zombie virus back before we started hearing about the zombies? You know, this was even before the CDC's post on the coming zombie apocalypse. But let me get into some of the interesting things that are mentioned in this article for National Geographic News, published on October 27th of 2010. They state, in the zombie flicks, 28 days later, and I Am Legend, an unstoppable viral plague sweeps across humanity, transforming people into mindless monsters with cannibalistic tendencies. And if you remember in the movie I Am Legend, it is mentioned that they had done something for the measles virus, which I think was supposed to cure cancer, and instead it turned people into zombies. Now, interestingly, my classmate, Ali Khan, class of 1987 from Downstate Medical Center, that still amazes me because his name is out there now, and I actually know this guy. He actually mentioned the measles virus as a potential source of a zombie apocalypse in his article, which there's a link to that article in my in the area below my archive for my show last week on Sheldon's site. Okay, this is what they say in addition. Though dead humans can't come back to life, certain viruses can induce aggressive zombie-like behavior, scientists say. In the new National Geographic Channel documentary, The Truth Behind Zombies, which premiered Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So must be, I don't know what day October 27th, 2010 was on, but they were going to have this National Geographic documentary, The Truth Behind Zombies, on right around that time. Then they say, for instance, rabies, a viral disease that infects the central nervous system, can drive people to be violently mad. According to Samita somebody, a virologist at the University of Miami's Miller School of Medicine in Florida, who also appears in the documentary. Miami. Isn't that where that really disgusting cannibal attack occurred? Where the man's face was eaten out? I think that was where it happened. I wonder if they're playing with a mutated rabies virus at the University of Miami, Miami's Miller School of Medicine, and it mysteriously escaped from the laboratory. But let me continue. Combine rabies with the ability of a flu virus to spread quickly through the air, and you might have the makings of a zombie apocalypse. Then they ask, is a rabies virus mutation possible? Well, they actually state in here that there are various ways viral mutations can occur. For example, through copying mistakes during gene replication or damage from ultraviolet light. Of course, what they don't mention is that there's 1,300 biowarfare labs in the United States doing exactly this, tweaking pathogens of all types. In fact, I had mentioned on a prior show about one of my most loved clients, a dog in Indiana that's come down with pitheiosis, this monstrous parasitic fungus, which we're still dealing with. I mean, I'm starting to see what's going on, folks, and it is disgustingly evil. And you really have to wake up to what's happening and what you're paying for. But let me continue with what the National Geographic has to tell us. Okay, if a rabies virus can mutate fast enough, it could cause infection within an hour or a few hours. That's entirely plausible. And that's exactly what happens in the movie Quarantine, which I will go over when I get to it. Okay, let me see what else they talk about. For the rabies virus to trigger a zombie pandemic like in the movies, it would also have to be much more contagious. In other words, you know, being spread other than by biting. You know, they need to get it airborne. A faster mode of transmission would be through the air. Like how the influenza virus spreads. Okay, I hear the music. I'll continue after the break. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is the zombie apocalypse continued. And I'm getting a lot of noises in my ear. I hope I'm coming through okay. Let me get back to this National Geographic article on the zombie virus. Please download this and read it, folks. You will be amazed. Because guess what the next thing they talk about on page 3 is in this article? The Zombie Research Society, an international nonprofit devoted to, quote, raising the level of zombie scholarship in the arts and sciences. And you can go to this website. The things that they mention are truly amazing. In fact, let's see. No, I don't think that's one of the links I gave Sheldon. I just have so many things and they keep coming in. But anyways, you can check that out for yourself. They sell all kinds of things you can buy to decorate your child's room or T-shirts, things of that nature. Truly amazing that they would have a zombie research society. The article goes on to state that to be transmitted by air, rabies would have to, quote-unquote, borrow traits from another virus, such as influenza. But unrelated viruses simply do not hybridize in nature, some scientist named Subbiah told National Geographic News. Likewise, it's scientifically unheard of for two radically different viruses, such as rabies and influenza, to borrow traits. They're too different. They cannot share genetic information. Viruses assemble only parts that belong to them, and they don't mix and match from different families. Well, we know that's not true because they hooked up bird flu, swine flu, and human flu a few years ago, so that's obviously disinformation. Another minion from the University of Miami, interestingly, however, does admit that it's theoretically possible to create a hybrid rabies influenza virus using modern genetic engineering techniques. Sure, I could imagine a scenario where you mix rabies with a flu virus to get airborne transmission, a measles virus to get personality changes, the encephalitis virus to cook your brain with fever, and thus increase aggression even further. You could even throw in the Ebola virus to cause you to bleed from your guts. Isn't it amazing that these are the kinds of things the scientists at the University of Miami are considering? Allegedly, just theoretically. The last statement in the article is my favorite. Nature doesn't allow all of these things to happen at the same time. Of course, what she's not mentioning is that the mad scientists can do this and do this and have been doing it for some time. Okay, I'm going out of order from the post, so I have to do a little shuffling here of documents. What's the next thing I want to mention? Okay, I think the next thing I should mention is a document you can link to from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, the annual oral rabies vaccination in Western Pennsylvania. And this is a live rabies virus that they are calling a vaccine named Raboral, Raboral-V, manufactured by Muriel Inc. in Athens, Georgia, down there where the CDC lives. And basically, this live rabies virus also contains live vaccinia virus. Now, what is vaccinia? Vaccinia is a hybrid of cowpox and smallpox that we have thanks to way back in Edward Jenner's days, one of the first monsters who started pushing this idea of injecting you with a virus to quote-unquote protect you. And what he did was inject cowpox virus by scraping the pustules off cows that had cowpox and then injected that into people who subsequently became infected with smallpox because, of course, the cowpox being injected into you or scratched onto your skin, which is how they did it, did not protect you from the smallpox virus. So basically, it created a mutant monster, which was subsequently named vaccinia virus. Now, ask yourself the very obvious question. What are they doing? Putting live rabies virus and live vaccinia virus into a heat-sealed plastic packet or sachet that's pink in color and coated or placed inside a fish meal block, which they are dropping from helicopters and planes all over nature. And in fact, let me quote this exactly. Since 1990, more than 100 million doses of this alleged vaccine have been distributed in the United States. The only two, allegedly only two, documented human adverse reactions occurred after pet dogs punctured the baits and the owners, and they had direct contact of the vaccine with non-intact skin. And in fact, one of those cases was a woman in Pennsylvania who picked up one of these bait packets and came down with a vaccinia infection. So once again, A, why are they dropping live rabies virus in packets all over nature? And B, why are they putting vaccinia virus in it? Now, very interesting. This is something that they mention in this document. Please report any suspected accidental human vaccine contact and suspected adverse events to the appropriate local health department or district via their toll-free line in multiple counties. Consultation is available for human exposures to vaccine and for suspected adverse events. It's particularly important for ocular exposures. Imagine getting vaccinia of the eyes, people. And they do have vaccinia immune globulin and antiviral agents available if indicated. Now, of course, if they didn't have the vaccinia virus in the bait packages, they would not need to treat people for exposure to the vaccinia. And, of course, the whole idea of giving this vaccine immune globulin, of course, this is basically another vaccine. They're injecting you with foreign antibodies, which can have all kinds of adverse reactions in themselves. So this is what's going on, and it's truly amazing to me how many minions are going along with this and saying, yeah, sure, yeah, we'll spray live rabies over our states, no problem. How much money do we get to do it? I'm sure that's the first question they ask. Now, before the show today, I had to watch the movie Quarantine again. I ask all of you to please get that movie and watch it. You can get it from Netflix. There's a link to YouTube where you can actually watch the trailer for the movie. But you need to see the whole movie. The reason I feel this is the most important of all the quote-unquote zombie movies is because in this movie, they actually discuss the fact that the cannibals are being created by exposure to the rabies virus, a rabies virus which was tweaked in a laboratory in this particular building that's highlighted in the show, and amazingly causes infection and turns them into cannibalistic ghouls within just an hour or so. I mean, actually shorter than that, as they show in the movie, which is what I just talked about in the National Geographic document. You know, it's amazing how these things are all coming together. But what was really amazing to me, and which I did not catch the first time I watched the movie, near the end, and I couldn't see the number, you know, in the timeline when it occurs, but it's very near the end in the movie, which, by the way, was released in 2008, 4 years ago, people, okay, where the reporter is looking through the files in the lab that they found in this building that created the weaponized rabies. She opens a file folder, and make sure you stop it when she opens that file folder, because in the file folder is a photo of an arm which obviously has a vaccinia virus infection. You know, it's pretty classic. It's just basically mounds of pustules. And I didn't see that the first time I watched the movie, but I found that very interesting that we have vaccinia virus in the Rabral vaccine, and we have a vaccinia virus infection shown in the movie Quarantine from 2008. Now, let me also say that there's a follow-up movie called Quarantine 2, and that's basically the airline version of Quarantine, you know, the original movie, and I thought that was interesting. Now they have rabies in the air, so maybe that's some kind of a psychopath's joke, because now National Geographic is talking about, you know, making it airborne, and Quarantine 2 has it in an airplane. And also very interesting, in the movie Quarantine, you will see how the CDC actually does quarantine, because in the movie, they basically block off the building. They refuse access to the building. There's many people within the building that have not been infected, but the CDC shutters up the doors. And what happens is that one by one, everybody in the building is infected and killed. And that's what's going to happen, folks. If they start a quarantine, that's where you're going to get the vaccine. And that's where you're going to die by a cannibal or become one yourself. We'll be right back on that wonderful note. Stay tuned.
Hey, At Orion News Talk, we know times are bad. Ever since 9/11, a battle has been waging against we the people. Our Constitution is under attack. A